It is indeed a blessing to gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ on Christmas morning to do what we were created to do, to worship our God. And what a phenomenal job these children did, amen, to lead us, not just to perform, but to lead us in worship as we were able to look at them. And so often, I'll tell you, I find myself thinking about what comes next in the worship service, not able to really sit and worship. But today, as I listened to them, I was able to, and I hope you were as well, to just worship God for all that He has done. I don't know that there's anything that fills me with more joy than hearing children sing the praises of the Lord. And in fact, Jesus said that if we do not come as little children to Him, if we don't come with childlike faith, we have no part in the kingdom of God. And so I pray that you are encouraged this morning. And kiddos, as you're out there, don't let them pinch you today. Don't let them tell you to hush, okay? We want you to engage with this, and I want you to know how proud I am of the job you did as you led us, okay? Let me pray as we begin. Father, you are good, and your steadfast love endures forever. And God, you have shown your goodness in what we celebrate this Christmas morning, the goodness of sending us a Savior, sending us Jesus to be born in a manger and to die for us. God, let us make much of you, for this plan of reconciliation was eternal. Before you said, "Let there be light," God, you had planned for us to be saved. What a great God you are to give us such a gift. Let us embrace it fully this morning. I pray for the hearts that have gathered here, that each one is ready to worship today, that they have been prepared, that your Spirit has been working in them to bring them to this time where we come together corporately to lift up our praise and worship. God, if there's one here that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is not submitted, I pray, God, that today might be the day that they put their faith in Jesus and begin to truly live. Father, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So children, I want to hear from you, and adults, if you want to join in. What is the best gift you received this Christmas? Just shout it out. Best gift you received this Christmas? Go-kart. There we go. All right. What? RC car. What else? A camera. What else? Miss Durr. Jesus, absolutely. Baby doll, Madison, that little scary cheetah you got right there. Granddaughter. Amen. You don't have to answer this one, but I want you to think about why that was the best gift you got. Why was that the best gift you got? Was it because it was what you asked for? Is it because it made you happy? Is it because it was given with love? Was it because it was something that you needed? See, I think the best gifts, the ones that are truly meaningful and stick with us, are the ones that we know are demonstrations of love and sacrifice. My extended family has done away with giving gifts of toys and clothes. We just... you see our playroom, it looks like Toys R Us exploded in there, and so we don't need any more of that. And we've all done this except my mother-in-law, and she just thinks some baby's got to have something to unwrap, right? She can't help herself. Well, we moved away from this. We try to give what we call the gift of presence. So we give things... We give what is really the one limited resource we have, time, to walk alongside them, to be with them. So we buy trips to shows, we buy trips to trampoline parks, we buy vacations, anything that we can do to spend time together, making memories and sharing life, showing how much we just want to be with those we love. See, I don't remember a single toy I got as a kid. I just don't. I honestly racked my brain to try and come up with something that stood out. And I got some great things over the years, but none of them stuck with me. And that's how it is so often, right? You get a kid a gift, they play with it for a few minutes, and they set it to the side and move on to something else. But I do remember the gifts of time, the gifts where we spent time together, be it Christmas or any other time. I remember driving across country to California in the back of a Ford Astro van that was overheating in the middle of Nevada. Didn't seem like a gift at the time, but I remember it. I remember the trips to Yellowstone National Park and getting to see the beauty of God's creation and these animals that just walked right beside the road. I remember going hunting with my father, and I can remember what it was like sitting in the woods. I remember the crunching of the leaves as we got there. I remember the smell of the earth as we made us a spot in the leaves. I remember those things. Those memories still last today. And they last because they are gifts of presence, demonstrations of love and sacrifice, a significant time investment. And that is why Christmas is so special and so moving and so powerful, because Christmas is the day that we celebrate the ultimate gift of presence, the incarnation of Christ. The day where in that manger in Bethlehem, God became flesh and dwelt among us. When the King of Heaven came down to live among our sinful brokenness, that we might come to know God and be saved. The ultimate gift of presence. In fact, we can say that God has given us the greatest gift in Jesus. And it is indeed a gift. John 3:16. Is where I'll begin. I'm going to work through many scriptures this morning, so just bear with me. You don't have to turn to all of them. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." He gave us his Son in love. His hands reached down and he put this gift on earth. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" He gave us his son. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Just as we send gifts to those we love, God has sent us the gift of his son. And he didn't use Amazon, he used a virgin. The gift of presence, Jesus' presence, is the greatest gift because it meets the need of every man, woman, and child in existence. Every one of us need Jesus, whether you admit it this morning or not. Romans 3:23 through 27 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All, everyone has sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here's the gift. "We are justified," verse 24 says, "by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward, who God gave, who God sent to us as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." This is the gift that the baby born in a manger did not remain a baby, but that the incarnate Christ would grow to be a man that would die for the sins of the world. Our atoning sacrifice, the final Passover lamb. There will never need to be another because of what happened in that manger 2,000 years ago. Jesus refers to himself as a gift in John 4:10, he's talking to the woman at the well and he says to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is you were talking to, you would say, 'Give me a drink,' and he would have given you living water." You know, the most meaningful gifts that we have are those that we know some effort went into, that some planning was made about. And this gift was indeed planned. God planned this. This was the eternal plan of reconciliation that God had. Our memory verse in Sunday school tells us that Jesus, this greatest gift of presence, was planned by God. Isaiah 9:6, you heard it said this morning. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is a pre-planned gift. Paul talks about the fulfillment of this prophecy in Jesus. In Galatians 4:4-5, he says, but when the time had fully come, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive our adoption as sons. Jesus was indeed the answer to this prophecy. To demonstrate his love for his creation, God sent Jesus, the ultimate gift of presence. No longer would we have to wonder what God was like, for in Jesus we see the exact imprint of God. Colossians 1 tells us that. His very nature in Jesus Christ. And so many run from this truth, so many run from the church, and the church has done some terrible things to people. And I'm not telling you to look at the church to see this gift. I'm telling you to look to Jesus. You study his life. You study his sacrifice. You study that he has impacted our world even 2,000 years later. He changed the whole course of human history. Don't look at those that just profess the name. Look to Jesus, and you will see that he is the ultimate gift. There is no denying that. And you'll see that the ultimate gift of God was not wrapped with a bow and put under a tree, but he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and placed in a manger, and he grew to be a man that died hanging on a tree. And so many of us will spare no expense to provide for our children, and in this, God provided his child. Provided his child to come and die for us. The gift of his presence would last 33 years until in that ultimate sacrifice of love, he took our place on the cross under the wrath of God. He took your punishment on his shoulders. And died your death. Jesus is the ultimate gift. He brought salvation to the world. And he is the gift that keeps on giving, because while his physical presence is no longer with us, he has sent believers another gift to be with us always, the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, Peter tells us that the Spirit is a gift. He says, repent each of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through this gift, Jesus promised his disciples in Matthew 28 that he would be with them always until the end of the age. His power and guidance would be with them, leading them in the Spirit, teaching us until the time that we are gifted with his presence again, until we see him bodily again, we will be embraced by the Holy Spirit. And that is the gift that keeps on giving, right? Because the ultimate gift of this, the divine truth of Jesus, is what David speaks of in Psalm 23 at the very last of it in verse 6. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the promise of John's vision in Revelation 21:3, that yes, Jesus has come. He died, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, but he's coming back. And when he does, this is what we will hear. I heard a loud voice from heaven, he says in Revelation 21:3. Saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. The promise is an eternal presence of Jesus. I want you to receive that gift from Jesus this Christmas. I want you to rejoice in that gift of Jesus this Christmas. And I want you to embrace the truth of that gift from Jesus. The gift is not eternal life. The gift is not heaven. The gift is not being reunited with your family. The gift is in the fact that we will be in the eternal presence of our great Savior. He is the gift. He is the gift. He was sent to us once and he's coming back in power to take us with him one day. And how do you receive this gift? How can you embrace it the same way it has always been done? You must repent. You must turn away, change your mind about sin. No longer live under its control, but under the obedience to God. Confess Jesus as Lord, that he is your king, that you're going to follow him. Believe that he is the Son of God, sent from heaven, that died for you. Believe that God raised him from the dead on the third day, and then follow him all the days of your life. That's how you receive this gift. When you truly receive this gift, you'll begin to want to show God how thankful you are for Jesus. You'll understand that you've been given something that you can in no way repay, and you can in no way ever compensate him for. See, that's why we're here today. We're not just here because some cute kids were singing. There's a bunch of other places you could have been. There's probably a lot of stress for you to get here on a Christmas morning. But we're here today to demonstrate our love for the gift that God gave in Jesus. I'm sure there are kids rushing around playing with toys, not wanting to get ready, right? And I hope that you're not here because somebody made you. I hope that you're not here just because you are supposed to as a Christian. But here's what I want you to understand. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what got you here. It was the sovereign hand of God so that you could hear the truth of his word proclaimed and have the chance to receive this gift. And if you have received it, then I hope in this moment that you're here because you love Jesus and want to give him the only gift that you can truly give him. The only gift we can give him, our gift to Jesus in response to his love and majesty, is worship. It's worship. It's all we have to give. See, Jesus doesn't need anything from you. I think the church has got that twisted. We think, oh, all them preachers are going to ask about is tithes and offerings. All they're going to talk about is what we have to give. Jesus doesn't need one thing from you. Paul tells us that truth. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your time. In Acts 17, 24 and 25, this says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." He does not need us. Jesus is the king of the universe. Trying to give him something is like shopping for a billionaire. You know, what you going to give Elon Musk? You bust out the Rolex and he just throws it in a drawer with 30 other ones. He doesn't need. He has no lack. He doesn't even need our worship, but in our love and appreciation for him, it's all we have to offer. Our worship is all we have to offer because we know him by faith. We know that he doesn't need anything from us, but he's worthy of it all. Worthy of our lives. And brothers and sisters, worship is all wise men ever come to offer. We see that in the truth of Jesus' birth from Matthew 2. The scriptures say this, beginning in verse 2. These wise men come from the east and they said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They came to worship him. A baby born in a manger, they came to worship. They see this star in the sky and find Jesus at least sometime after his birth living in a house. And what did they do when they get there? Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. That was their gift. Worship. And then they opened their treasures, and they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is what they had to give Jesus. This was a prophecy that they fulfilled. Isaiah 66 says, they shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. The Spirit had come upon these pagan men from the east and allowed them to see that this little baby was king. And they gave him kingly treasures. These weren't just any gifts that they gave him. Gold and frankincense and myrrh were all gifts that would be presented to a king. And we don't know that these were wealthy men. These were just obedient men. They had heard that the King of the Jews had been born and they came to worship him. They were led to King Jesus by God. And when they found him, they treasured him above material things. And that is what right worship is this morning. Right worship, true worship in spirit and truth. The worship God has called us to is treasuring God in our hearts and lives above all else, above anything else, even our own lives. And that is right worship because He is worthy. He is worthy. And you know He's worthy when you have a right understanding of who He is. When you understand that He is the greatest gift in all the universe. So I pray that as you receive Jesus as the gift of God, your worship today and every day going forward will be done rightly as wise men, finding Jesus more important than anything else in this universe, and that that will impact your daily life. There is no way to rightly treasure Jesus and it not impact the way you live day by day. Because He has given us commandments. They are. Worship is not just honoring and praising Jesus directly. Our worship works through our daily lives as we share the love of Jesus with others. To live a life of worship means you will treasure His commands and His example in how we are to love others. And that will be the absolute standard of your life. That will be how you live. That you will meet the needs of the needy. Those that can do nothing for themselves without thinking about how they got there, that you will go and meet the needs, that you will love your neighbor as yourself. Because ultimately, our gifts to meet one another's needs are displays of God's love. They are gifts of God's love. I want you to envision yourself this way. Every day, you should be wrapping little gifts of God's love and doling them out like a jolly fat man to those God puts in your life. See, once we've experienced the gift of God's love in Jesus, we're to follow His example and fulfill the law of God in giving gifts to our neighbors, all those that God puts in our path. That is the greatest commandment Jesus tells the Pharisees in Matthew 22. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. And living in obedience this way, the gift of God and Jesus keeps giving through us as we act as His witnesses here on earth. That's what it means to be His witness. Not just that you made a profession one time, but that every day you are bearing the name of God, not in vain, but in power. Showing others that He makes a difference. Think of yourself as carrying this full bag of gifts of Jesus' love everywhere you go each day. You pray for someone, here's your gift. You spend time truly talking to someone, spending time in their presence, hearing what's going on in their lives, those that are struggling so mightily this season, and you say, here's your gift. You invite somebody that's struggling, somebody that has nobody for the holidays, into your home and you say, here's your gift. You share the good news of great joy that we have a Savior, and you say, here's your gift. Every day, over and over again, reaching into that sack of God's love and pulling it out and giving it to others. That is what we are made to do. That is what we are saved to do. Inviting somebody to church. Here's your gift. Say, Jesus is not physically present here on earth right now, but we are. And His Spirit lives within us, and so we are to be the gift of His presence in the lives of our neighbors so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. So they can see that He makes a difference in the lives of those He saves. Because we have received the great gift of God in Jesus, we should bring our gift of worship to Jesus and share His love with others. And my hope for Harmony Baptist today and into this new year is that we will treasure Jesus as the greatest gift in the universe through worship and service to our fellow man. You let us be a church like that, and we will make a difference in this world. And when I say church, I mean all the individuals that make up this church. You let us treasure Jesus and worship Him through it rightly and through service to fellow man, and we will make a difference. Those around us would know that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and they will be impacted by that truth in their own life. I rejoice that so many do it already. But I hope that we never take our eyes off of this truth. We have received a great gift in Jesus. So let us show our appreciation and share Him, share His love, so that more can receive this great gift too. That will be a true gift this Christmas. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we have so much in America. We have so many things that we can look around and see, feel like we need for nothing. And yet, if we do not have Jesus, we truly have nothing. If all of our treasure is stored up here on earth, if everything we do is just to make life more comfortable here, there will come a day where our lives will end and we will see that we are bankrupt. And yet if we receive this gift today, if those that have gathered here receive the gift of Jesus, as they've heard the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who was born of a virgin, who came and lived a perfect life, God incarnate, and that we as wicked sinners can do nothing to help ourselves, and He knew that, and so He went to the cross and took our punishment. Spilled His blood, took the wrath of God that belonged on us. If we will confess that, if we will repent of our sins and turn and follow Jesus, then we can be saved today so that when we get to that moment of life where it is all over, we will see that there is yet joy forever to be had. And that our treasure is in heaven and His name is Jesus. God, I pray that that truth would resonate in the hearts of those today. That in the land of plenty, we would see that Jesus is more valuable than anything else. And that we would share that truth with those around us. Thank you, God, for the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's in His name I pray. Amen. We are so thankful that you're here this Christmas. And that you join with us. We pray that you have received the gift of Jesus. If not, if in this moment that has happened, if you would come forward and let us know that. If there's a time, something you need to repent over today, the altar will be open. We ask that you'd stand as we sing.